similar theme today on the importance of forgiveness. So here's a big question for you before we get into the passage, and we're going to kind of break the passage up today into three different ones. So here's a question. Is forgiveness vital? Is it really vital? That's going to come up. And is it vital that I forgive others? I think most of us could say, maybe Donald Trump, who says he's never asked God to forgive him, he might disagree, but most of us would probably say, yeah, I know I need God to forgive me. I would recognize I'm not perfect and I need to be forgiven. But another question then is, do I need to forgive other people? Is this really vital? And let's keep going there. Here's where it comes, it kind of starts to get real. We could say, yeah, in general, we should forgive other people. We could be all moralistic about it. Yes, we should forgive people. That's good. That's good. But where the rubber hits the road is, do I really need to forgive them? And you know who them is. Them is going to be different for you than it is for me. And we say, him? Really? Him? Her? You don't know my story. You don't know the depth of what has gone on in my life. Is it really vital that we forgive even them? So now that I've got you all thinking seriously about that, I'll tell you a funny story about this, because forgiveness and actually unforgiveness, it really is trapping us. When we refuse to forgive someone, you may not realize it, but what's happening is it's trapping you into sin. So let's go to that next slide. And there's a fantastic picture here of a monkey with this fruit, and he's reaching his hand inside the fruit. Now, monkeys will really do this. If you put some kind of a shiny bauble or something interesting to a monkey, they will reach their hand in through a small opening to try to get it. And you have to make the opening small enough that they can't get their fist through it. You get this, so they have to kind of, you know, reach their hand through this little thing, and then they grab the object. And once they have grabbed that, they do not want to let it go. The problem is they can't pull their hand back out through the hole without letting go of the thing. And so they're stuck. All they have to do is open their hand, let go, and they could be free. But they don't do it. And this is actually one of the ways that you can trap monkeys. If you're ever in the area and you want to go monkey hunting, this, I guess, is how you can do it. So some people will do this with logs, and they'll have a hollowed out log. Same idea, little hole. And that monkey will reach in there, will not let go. So with that in mind, let's read Acts. First, we're going to read the very end of Acts chapter 15. I intentionally left it out 2 weeks ago. And then we will be getting into Acts 17 as well. And you can go back to last week's podcast to listen to Acts 16. So I'm reading verses 36 through 41. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Sounds good, right? Let's go back and visit everybody. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. I appreciate that even right after this huge issue that Paul and Barnabas had that actually split them up. God is still sovereign. God is still good. If we have sin areas in our lives and issues in our lives where we have not really dealt with some things, God is still good. And he will still work through imperfect people. So don't forget that as we talk about how important it is that we forgive. Forgiveness does something, and unforgiveness obviously will do the opposite. Forgiveness empowers our relationships. Forgiveness empowers our relationships. Last week when Tracy was preaching through Acts 16 and we were hearing about Paul and Silas in prison, they've been beaten, badly abused, they've been put in the stocks in the inner prison, and God miraculously sets them free, but they don't leave. And what happens is this jailer in the city of Philippi, the jailer and his whole family are saved. Paul and Silas could have just been, we don't want anything to do with the people who have abused us, who have hurt us, who have wrongfully imprisoned us, tortured us. They could have said no. But because they didn't do that, this man and his whole family were saved and will be with them one day. You will get to meet the Philippian jailer. You'll get to meet his wife. You'll get to meet his kids. You'll get to meet his servants. You'll get to meet all these people because Paul and Silas chose to minister to the very people who had wounded them, who had hurt them, who had oppressed them, who had wronged them. Because they chose that, we'll get to be with them in heaven. Forgiveness empowers relationship. Now, has anyone never had a disagreement? Don't raise your hand. We'll know you're lying. Just this morning. Right, Matt's good, right? Got it covered. He's got his disagreement quota for the day. Disagreements and offenses are inevitable. It happens to everybody. Paul and Barnabas, not immune. This is Paul the Apostle, author of much of the New Testament, like the Bible, not immune to offenses, to hurts. Whatever this issue was, I mean, we don't get the dialogue, right? They didn't give us the whole line by line, blow by blow. It just says it was a sharp disagreement. And if you get into the Greek, it means intense. These guys had it out. And they split up. Paul was not ready to receive and embrace Mark. Barnabas was not willing to go on the trip without his nephew. He wouldn't go with Paul unless Mark came. And Mark, imagine being Mark in this situation where you've got the seasoned leader, the apostolic man, and he rejects you. He doesn't even want you to come with him on the trip. Like, dude, I'll just carry your bags. No. Refusing to forgive someone can destroy years of relationship, years of partnership. So when we say forgiveness, what are we talking about? What does it mean to forgive someone? Well, very helpfully, the Oxford Dictionary gives us a simple definition. So you think about them again for a minute. Them. Have I forgiven them? Oxford Dictionary defines forgive as to remit, to let off, to cease to resent, to pardon. To remit, let off. I am letting you go free. I am not holding this against you any longer. You're free. It's like saying to that person, you owe me nothing. And the reality may be they owe you a lot. But you're saying, I'm not holding what you owe me against you. And I am choosing to let you go. Forgiveness is more than a feeling. I am a total nerd. I'm married to an 80s rock lover. So as soon as I say more than a feeling, you know what goes through my brain? More than a feeling. Yeah, sorry if you're post-1980s and that means nothing to you. Or maybe you're pre-1980s and that means nothing to you. That's okay. Who's that? REO Speedwagon? Who's that? Anyway, you can go look it up. Go look it up if you're interested. Forgiveness is more than a feeling. It's a choice. Even Paul and Barnabas, mighty men in God. Barnabas is known as an encourager. Paul is known as, and we're going to get into chapter 17 here in a minute. Paul is known as a guy who forgives. But even these guys are not immune, and neither are we. We're not immune to offense. Now I'll give you can go look it up if you want. Colossians 4:10, 2 Timothy 4:11. You'll find out that down the line, Paul and Mark reconcile. Paul actually considers Mark very useful to him personally in ministry. So there's a happy ending to this down the line. So forgiveness can empower. Choosing not to forgive can just destroy. Now, forgiveness also empowers future relationship, ongoing relationship. Let's read the first 10 verses of Acts chapter 17. This won't appear on the screen. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. You can just listen or follow along in your own Bible, Acts chapter 17. So this is after Paul and Silas have now left Philippi. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. I'm going to read one more verse. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, where did they go? They went into the Jewish synagogue. All right. What had just happened to them in Thessalonica? They go in. They've left Philippi, not under great circumstances. They've left Philippi. They come to Thessalonica. They begin preaching to the Jews, and they're preaching the gospel straight up. They're doing what they should be doing. They're reasoning with them from the Scriptures. Jesus is the Christ. Yes, the Messiah really did need to suffer and die. I know you can't believe it, but this is true. This is what happened. Let's show you in the Word. And they began to teach the Jews. And some of them believe. But as others non-Jewish people also begin to believe. Some of the Jews who did not believe began to oppose. And they began to stir up a riot, stir up the mob against Paul and Silas. And they end up having to flee the city. You might think they'd say, forget this. We keep trying to go to the Jews, and we end up in trouble. We end up with riots. This is going to be way easier if we just forget the Jews. But everywhere they go, they keep going to the Jews. The very people who oppressed them, try to have them killed, try to stir up other people against them. The very ones we would go, you know what? Can we just forget about these guys? But because they're willing to forgive, they keep going to the same people. It's very difficult to minister to people when you're holding on to offense. It's really hard to love people and engage with people when you hate them. It's hard. It's hard to pray for people when you despise them. It's hard. And I meant to grab some things, so I'm going to have to improvise for a minute. I'm going to grab my guitar for a second because I can show you this better than I can just talk about it. So, what I should have done is pick this other stuff up first, but so I don't have any great rocks. I should have brought in some rocks to represent all of my bitterness and my unforgiveness and my horribly wounded heart. But I didn't. Yeah, that's okay. I'm gonna use some cups. This now represents my wounded heart. Okay. Got some issues? Yeah. All right, here we go. We got some more issues. Okay. I'll take, yeah, Dixie cups. That'll work. Okay. Take that. There we go. And some of them are really touchy because they have stuff in them. Oh, snap. Right. This one still has grape juice in it. Do you know how hard it is to play the guitar right now? This is hard. Now, I have a problem because there's a pick stuck in here. Okay, got it. I can... Okay, that sort of works. There's a problem, though. I can't strum any chords. I am badly hobbled here. Yeah? It is very difficult to get the job done. No one wants John to lead worship like this. But something starts to happen as I begin to lay things down. How am I going to do this? I can't even lay it down. There. I need help. Sometimes you need help to lay things down. Okay. As I start to lay some things down, especially the big ones, the biggest issues in our lives, the ones that we think, I don't want to pull the scab off of that one. We buried that one years ago. Now, you know what's happening when you buried it years ago? It's just festering. You might have forgotten about it mostly, but it's not dealt with. It's just festering. So when you get the big ones out of the way, I might still have some little issues. I still got a Bible sitting on my guitar here. Can we call the Bible an issue? That's like a problem. Oh, this is a hymnal. Okay, we're okay. We're okay. So, I still have the juice in the cup, but I can set it here, and I can start to play. Now, if I move very much, this is... Oh, see what I'm talking about? I can play, but not well. But as the things come off and I begin to let things go and I begin to let the issues go that are holding me back, they're hobbling me. Now, can I play the guitar yeah, I could play it, but only very carefully and very limited. But when we lay the issues down, all of a sudden, everything that can come out of that guitar is it, now I can let it go. And what's really in my heart and what God's really put in me is now free to go because I was willing to let go of the unforgiveness and the bitterness and the issues in my heart. When Paul and Silas were oppressed by the Jews, unbelieving Jews, we should clarify, because there are other Jews who were very respondent, very, very open to the gospel, receiving it and excited and taking it out. But when they forgave and really refused to hold on to the bitterness that they could have, what it did is it empowered future ministry. In verse 10, we see Paul and Silas showing up in Berea. And they went to the Jews in Berea. And what's the response? We'll get to it in a minute, but it's good. I'm going to read you a passage here from Romans 9. This is how Paul feels. You might be thinking, did he really forgive the Jews? I mean, he did leave them behind in that other city, and he moved on. This is Paul's heart for the Jews. I am speaking the truth in Christ, he says. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that those Jews were gone. No, that's not what it says. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites. He loved his people. Though they kept rejecting him over and over, he loved his people. That's Romans 9. His heart was burdened for the very people who continued to sin against him. So Paul and Silas, they have to flee, and they come to Berea. And now let's read the next few verses. So they go into the Jewish synagogue, starting in verse 11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. Now pause there for a second. None of these Bereans would have had the chance to believe and to engage if Paul had said, I'm done with them. Can't do it. I can't keep going to these people. It's too hard. It hurts too much. It says many of them believed. Many came to faith in Jesus. Your forgiveness of people empowers future relationships in ways you may not even have thought of. You might even realize the people that are going to come to Christ because you chose to forgive that other guy back here. And it sets you free to walk into the future that God has planned for you. And the last thing in this is forgiveness empowers the gospel. It empowers the gospel. These guys, these Bereans are believing. Many are believing. Now, is there still opposition? Yes. I'll finish out this passage. When the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Thanks, guys. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea. But Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Forgiving people empowers the gospel to flow through you. We already kind of demonstrated it with the guitar. Letting things go sets you free to be who you're called to be. But this isn't just a moralistic message, guys, saying forgive because you should forgive. Or forgive, even in a good sense, because Jesus commands us to forgive. We'll get there in a minute. He does. You have to understand, forgiveness is first empowered by the gospel. Forgiveness is empowered by the good news of Jesus Christ. He has forgiven you. If you aren't confident in this, if you aren't secure in this, it's very difficult to turn around and forgive the worst of the worst. It's difficult to forgive the people who hurt you. And maybe they continue. They never get it. You're like, ugh. And they continue to oppress you, or they continue to hurt your heart. You need to be secure in God's heart toward you. We love, actually, we have a song that we sing around here about that. We love because He first loved us. We forgave because He first forgave us. We give because He has been so generous to us. And if we miss all of the things that God is to us, we actually can take a passage like this and go, we need to be more like Paul. Darn it. I wish I was. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this, God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. This is where it starts. What's the beginning of this great news? God, who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus. Then it goes on in the verse. Then and only then, it says, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. First, we need to be reconciled with God. And that means coming to Him and going, Lord, I recognize I need forgiveness. It doesn't matter if you're Donald Trump. It doesn't matter if you're John Meek. It doesn't matter who you are. You need forgiveness. You need God. You need Jesus. And coming to Him and receiving His forgiveness, receiving His lavish grace poured out over your life. It's in that place of amazing gratefulness that we can then turn around and begin to bring reconciliation to other people. And He goes on in verse 20, 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. This is what we're seeing in Acts 17. God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This great apostolic message of the gospel, it came with a real passion for people. It came with a real heart for these people. And it's what makes it easy for people to respond to the gospel when they realize. I mean, imagine, you're a Jewish guy or gal living in Berea. And here comes this guy. This group of guys, actually. Paul, Silas, Timothy. Paul never went by himself. He always went with a group. We actually completely miss it if you just think about Paul. It's always a group. It's always a team working together. So here comes this group of guys who've just been driven out and had to flee your people. Your own people. And now they're coming to you and they're embracing you and they're bringing the message, the grace of God to you. They're bringing the goodness to you. When you realize the sacrifice and the cost, it's very valuable. And many responded. Many didn't. Get used to it. Matthew 18 says this. I'm not going to read the whole passage, even though it's amazing. Matthew 18 Starting verse 21, Peter comes to Jesus. Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times?" A lot of you probably know this. And Jesus says to him, "I don't say to you up to seven times. Up to 70 times seven. Are you kidding me?" At some point, this guy's just thick-headed. He's done it again. "I forgave him." He did it again. "I forgave him." "Come on, Jesus, seven times." And he just did it again. "How often am I supposed to forgive my brother?" 70 times seven. What? Why? Because forgiveness is setting you free to be who God has called you to be. Forgiveness is setting you free, like Paul and Silas, to run with the message. Does it mean they're always perfect? No. Paul blew it with Mark. Paul and Barnabas totally fell out, split their relationship. They blew it. Guys, leaders blow it. You're going to blow it. I'm going to have times where I mess up. And I need to repent. And I need to forgive. It's going to happen to all of us. But when we forgive and we make that choice and say, "Yeah, Jesus, I'm going to forgive people because the gospel is more important and what you've called me to do is more important than me holding this against them, shackling me." So Paul and Silas, they're not bitter men preaching a grudging gospel. They're declaring freedom in Jesus. And what's happening is God is demonstrating and he's revealing the power of the gospel at work in his people. This is what he does. When you, with all of your issues and all of your past pain and all the junk that has happened to you, when you begin to walk in forgiveness and freedom, people are watching. People are seeing. People you think would never turn to Jesus are watching you. And when you begin to respond in a way like Paul and Silas, and you keep going to the Jews, or you keep going to that guy, you keep going to that lady, or you keep choosing to walk in forgiveness toward that group, maybe toward that church that wounded you, toward that church leader, toward that parent, and you forgive, people are seeing it and they're thinking, "What is different about you? You aren't like everyone else. I could never forgive that person." They may even think you're insane. Why would you do this? You know they're going to just hurt you again. Why are you doing this? But it starts to, like, it gets in their head. What is going on? How can you do this? How can you be free? You're representing the gospel, guys. How can you do it? It's through Jesus. It's the gospel empowering forgiveness in you that then in turn empowers and looses the gospel to minister to other people. Now, the opposite of this in the story is the Jews, especially these Jews from Thessalonica. They're chasing them down. They're leaving their own city and coming to Berea to stir up the crowds there. Now, these guys are stuck in their bitterness. They are stuck in their sin. They're stuck in this. Paul is living rent-free in their heads. They're stuck. They desperately need forgiveness. They need to forgive. So we've already said this a little bit. I'm just going to reiterate. Unforgiveness traps us. Traps us in our bitterness, in our wounding, in our anger, in our desire for vengeance, justice. But what's really happening is destroying you. So a couple of very basic questions. Have you asked God to forgive you and to reconcile you to himself? Have you done that? Maybe a lot of you have, and you've said, yeah. And you can easily say, yes. I've said, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I need your grace. Yeah, I recognize that. But also, can you come to the Lord when you recognize, ooh, I've sinned again? Can you come to him humbly and say, Lord, forgive me? Some of us might be there where you're like, yeah, I know I'm a Christian, but I also know I'm holding on to stuff. So here's the question. Who is God challenging you to forgive? Mark 11:25 says this. When you stand praying, this could be like today, or sitting praying. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. What? Even Donald Trump? Sorry, not Donald Easterbrook. Donald Easterbrook, Sue. Even Donald Trump? Even Bernie Sanders? Even Hillary Clinton? Even whoever your least favorite candidate is? Even them? Yeah, all of them. Even them? Yes. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. We are called to be forgiving people. Yes, even your parents, even your kids, your husband, your wife, your former husband, former wife, a boss, former boss, authority figures in our lives. Those are the big ones. There might be something else specifically that God's bringing up to you, and you're like, dude, I know. I know who them is. If English is not your first language, yes, that was very bad grammar. Even if English is your first language, who them is not good grammar. For some of us, we literally may need to forgive ourselves. Do you hear that? Some of you may need to forgive yourself because you keep shaming and guilting yourself for what you have done. But who are you to do that if God says, I forgive you? I understand you forgive me, God, but I can't do that. Yeah, you can. Don't oppose God. That's dumb. You may need to forgive God himself for allowing the awful things to happen. You may need to do that. But I'm guessing God is speaking to everyone in the room in a different way today. Different things come to your mind of how you need to forgive or who you need to forgive. God, we pray for those who have hurt us, those who have wounded us.